Grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Tonight, as we celebrate the eve of St. Thomas the Apostle, we are reminded that we're getting closer and closer to that special day of the Feast of the Nativity, the day that we have the annual celebration of the birth of Mary's Son, God's own Son, only begotten Son. And what joy it brings us. Christmas is coming. What a wonderful blessing it brings. Great anticipation. And even after thousands of years, the community of believers can still rally around that joy and be filled with excitement. What an anticipation. All these centuries. What a wonder. Even surprise can still come to us. So, let's just use our imaginations for a moment. What if, I know the big word is if here, what if the birth of Christ brought us one more surprise this year? And what if, to our surprise, perhaps maybe even a total shock, I was to pronounce from the pulpit that Jesus, the Christ, actually had a twin? Now some of you may be saying, okay, Pastor, you've been reading the Da Vinci Code book too much. You know, it's bad enough when Dan Brown thinks that Jesus had a wife named Mary and they had a daughter named Sarah. Now you want to say he had a twin? Well, remember I used the word if. But if I actually did write this book, I probably would make, even if I made one-tenth of what Dan Brown made, I'd still be a millionaire. But anyway, let me move on here. Because actually nowadays, you know, the birth of a second child, a twin, doesn't necessarily bring around that many surprises nowadays. Because nowadays with the advancement of medicine, you know, you have your ultrasounds, you even have those 3D ultrasounds. If a twin came completely unexpected, I bet the doctor would be under a lawsuit. With those ultrasounds, they know pretty much ahead of time that there are two instead of one, or three, or four, depending on how many are there. The prenatal examinations almost always reveal that second, third, or how many a child is growing within the mom during the pregnancy. So nowadays, eager parents have plenty of time to go out in to get that extra crib, that extra set of clothes, that extra double stroller, so to speak. But in the old days, during the time of Mary and Joseph, they didn't have such things. In the old days, the mother had delivered that little bit of bundle of joy, and it'd be a completely surprised and a wonderful shock when the wife or the doctor would say, hey, here comes one more. Well, I'm not going to shock you by trying to convince you that Christ had a physical twin brother. But the reason why I want to bring up the concept of a twin here, and you'll see how this sort of comes into place here, is that tomorrow we celebrate the day of St. Thomas the Apostle. And most of us know St. Thomas, as our bulletin cover depicts, Jesus pointing out to the nail marks in his hands, that Thomas was the one that said, you know, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my hand into the side where that spear pierced him, I will not believe. See, Thomas was the one who didn't want to believe the other disciples when they told him that Jesus was raised from the dead. He said the only way to believe is if he actually saw it and if he actually touched it. Now, to be fair, you know, Thomas had gone through a very great deal. The last 3 years he was with Jesus, got to know him, was one of his disciples, one of the 12. And then he was probably devastated. And so this concept of the resurrection of the dead was probably too much for him to bear. We usually think of Thomas only as a skeptic and a doubter, but actually, quite the opposite. He showed a lot of loyalty and great devotion. For example, in our readings for today, the word had just come to Jesus that one of his friends, Lazarus, was deathly ill in Bethany. In the course of events, Jesus told his disciples that they were going to go back to Bethany to see Lazarus. And at first, the disciples, as our text from John chapter 11 said, you know, why do you want to go back to Bethany? They're going to stone you. They're going to kill you. Because Jesus made the claim to them that he had existed before Abraham was, and he was the great I Am. And they understood it correctly. They thought he was blaspheming. They desired to stone him, but he hid himself and eluded them. Therefore, to go back to Judea would be to risk one's life and one's limb for both Jesus and his disciples. But did you catch what Thomas said? After the discussion, what did Thomas say? Let us also go, that we may die with him. John chapter 11, verse 16. Despite the risk, Thomas wasn't doubting. Thomas was willing to go with Jesus, even to the face of death. Thomas did not want to depart from Jesus' side. So we can sort of get an idea that there was that loyalty, there was that beautiful bond. And so Thomas had a hard time. He saw the death, but until he saw the resurrection, he struggled. Now, the whole concept of what would happen if Jesus has a twin, and this is where that concept comes in, is that the word Thomas, the name Thomas, literally means twin. In fact, he was called Didymus, which is the Greek word for twin. And that was a good name for him to have, and it was a very fitting description of anyone who would really want to be a disciple of Christ. Not regardless whether you're a twin or not. You see, we have to remember that to be a disciple means to go with Jesus. Thomas literally said, let us also go that we may die with him. In order that, in one essence, we may live with him. Jesus himself said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. From Matthew chapter 16. So to be a Christian is actually to be, putting two to two together, Christ's twin. To be crucified with him. Which literally means to drown that old Adam. To drown all our sins. To drown all our evil lusts. To repent. And it is for us to lay down our life for others daily, and your willingness to suffer. Now, I know this does not sound like news we want to understand and we want to do. Now you can sort of see the disciples' reaction in John chapter 11 saying, why do you want to go back over there? We're going to die. But it was Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Yeah, Thomas sometimes gets that bad rap. Known as Doubting Thomas, but very loyal, very faithful, probably more loyal and faithful than we are. But now that I've made this parallel here, that as Christians, we are to follow Christ, we are to put down that old Adam within us, we are to be willing, should be willing to suffer, we have to remember that you are also given to be Christ's twin, not only in his death, but also in his resurrection. Let me pick up for a moment from and explain this using Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 27. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, when we put on Christ, we have that covering, so to speak. We have that forgiveness of sins. Typically, during the baptismal liturgy, and it's not a custom we practice here at Trinity, but other churches do that, they usually give a white garment to the person being baptized, sort of to symbolize that covering. You see, God the Father no longer looks at us and our sinfulness, but now looks at us through the holiness that comes from Christ, our twin. Let me sort of use a different illustration to kind of explain this point. For those of you who are twins, or maybe you've done this if you have a sibling, let me pick up a point from the series Harry Potter. Harry Potter had a friend named Ron who also had two older twin brothers who during one particular episode decided to change names. You couldn't tell the twins apart, at least not in the movies. And even during the time when their own mother was a little bit distressed and a little bit frazzled and a little bit rushed, their own mother could not tell the two twins. Kind of funny. But in one essence, as they were able to fool their mother, that's kind of like us with our twin brother, Christ. You see, God the Father, humor me in my example here, is kind of fooled. We now bear Christ's name, we bear Christ's holiness, and what does Christ do? Christ takes our punishment away from us. Now, I understand a little bit about sibling rivalry. Typically, it would be the opposite point of view. I would do something wrong and then blame my sibling for it. But trying to explain the Christian concept of forgiveness. It's just the opposite. We're the ones who've done something wrong. And what Christ does, he says, I did it. I will go to the cross. I will bear the punishment for Pastor Bola's sin, for all your sin. Even though he didn't do it. But that shows us the great love that God has for us. That was the plan, that Christ would take away our sin. Yeah, siblings or that twin may try to blame the other for the crime. But this isn't blame. Christ was the innocent one who fesses up for our sinfulness and is punished accordingly. We didn't get Christ into trouble. We're the ones who created the problem. It is Christ who solved the problem by his own death, and we get to go free. So in one essence, we are Christ's twin, so to speak. Through baptism, something special happens. Through baptism into his body, your faith in his name, you now share his same risen identity. For in one essence, we're all now like little twin brothers and sisters of Christ before the throne in heaven, bearing the very image of Christ. For you are by his grace pure and holy, as Jesus is pure and holy, sharing now his identity and his image. You share in his life. So when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Christ gives this to us because we are his twin. Jesus is the firstborn twin who leads the way for all of us who are those quote-unquote second-born twins out of the womb of death into new life, new and everlasting life. This is the way that our second reading that Thomas asked about. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, Jesus has prepared a place for you and for me in the Father's house by his cross and empty tomb. Jesus alone stood in the doorway into that house. And so when we participate in his cross, his death, we're also participating in his resurrection. We count ourselves now dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And now we're given the same room that Christ had in heaven above, right there with our Heavenly Father. Getting back to Thomas here, as Thomas was kind of called that twin, Thomas certainly participated in Jesus' cross. According to tradition, Thomas went on a missionary journey to preach the gospel in India. Hence, the second symbol here, just below the Jesus and the nail marks on the cover, is a symbol of a spear with sort of a right angle of wood there. Noting that the wood sort of comes from the concept, the tradition has it, that Thomas actually physically built the church himself. The spear, unfortunately, marks how Thomas died. The same one who said, unless I see that spear mark in Christ's side and put my hand into it, himself died by the spear because of his faith in Christ. And now that spear is the very symbol identified with Christ, with Thomas, not because of his doubt, but because of how he died. He was truly Christ's twin. He also shared in Christ's death, and he also will share in Christ's resurrection. Even now he dwells according to his soul with Christ his Savior in heaven. So it is for you. Like Thomas, you have been marked as Christ's twin. Hope and pray that we don't actually have to suffer martyrdom by the spear, but you have received the sign of the Holy Cross when it was placed upon your forehead and upon your heart during baptism to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And we are wearing this sign of death. And those who wear the sign of death and believe and trust in being Christ's twin will also wear the crown of life that he has won for you. Okay, I will admit, my analogy in trying to make us into Christ's twin is not necessarily perfect. We were not born that first Christmas night, moments after our Savior. We never lied with him in the manger. No, it's nothing that shocking, and nor was there any previous life either. Christians don't believe in that. But through baptism, we were reborn to die in his death. That may come as a surprise, but don't be shocked if someday you also may be asked to live according to that faith, as Thomas did. But for now, we live the life of the twin. It is a life of sacrifice. It is a life of suffering. But above all, it's a life that will never end. A life that will continue forever. Never separated from our twin, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because there's always something interesting I keep reading about twins. They have those special relationships. And I remember even in one science fiction book, they would use twins to help communicate between long-range space voyage with the people here on Earth. We also, with our twin, have a special relationship. Christ is with us no matter where we are. So even if future generations do go out into outer space and colonize, our twin is with us in that supernatural way that only God can accomplish. So this day, as we remember the eve of St. Thomas, we remember our own calling to be connected to Christ, being his twin. How also we will have to bear the cross, but we also receive the gift of eternal life. So this day we thank God for the willingness to take us on as his twin through his death and resurrection, through his baptism, so that we can live with him forever and ever. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.